Welcome to the USCHoops.com College Basketball Podcast. USCHoops.com College Basketball Podcast is the original podcast covering USC Trojans men's college basketball team and is available on such platforms as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn, as well as at the USCHoops.com website. If you haven't done so already, we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a five-star rating and left a review on the platform of your choice. And a very happy, what was Thursday, July 10th, 2025, I think. This won't be uploaded until the 11th, Friday the 11th. So I hope hopefully people are enjoying their last day of the week and their weekend as they listen to this. It's kind of a cool episode because USC had another morning practice this week, as some of you may have heard, and I could not make it personally this time, but I did send a representative, who a guest of the podcast in the past, and that's Grant. He's was willing to go and get there in the morning, watch the practice, and report back to us. So, Grant, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Chase. Thank you for selecting me to go. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course, of course. And by the way, we have Nick joining us as well. Nick's Nick, how are you doing?
I'm good, Chase. It's kind of crazy. We're getting into the new season here. Just summer's flying by.
It is. It sure is. Okay. So just first thing off the bat, Grant is like one of these guys who's like, he's been knowledgeable, involved, knows about the basketball scene in Southern California for like a long, long time. So, you know, Grant, what was the first USC basketball game you ever went to?
The first USC basketball game that I attended was in 70, I think it was 71, 72. I was in the ninth grade and I saw, you know, Westfall, Dana Padgett, Mo Layton play that team. And that's the first time I went to.
And you've been going to USC games basically for the most part ever since, right?
Yes, as an undergrad and then as a dental student and then became a Galen founder. So,
And Grant is one of these guys who I love just chatting hoops with. And if you ever get an opportunity to meet him, it's like, you know, his knowledge base is absolutely crazy. And he's one of these guys who is just an amazing recollect of all of these events of the past. And, you know, and I can only go so far back, right? Because I think the first game I ever remember watching was in the 86 Final Four when Indiana knocked off Syracuse. Was that 86?
He's smart, right?
Yeah, Keith smart. Yeah. With Steve Alford. That was, I think, the very first time I ever watched a college basketball game. And so I really paid attention to LMU basketball before that with the Gathers Kimball stuff. And then SC was with, you know, when Harold Miner started. So I don't go nearly as far back. Grant is two decades more of experience, knows this stuff. So he's a great person to talk to. Got to go to the practice. You know, it's the same, I think, format that I saw. It's about a 48-minute practice. You know, from what I can tell, Grant, it seemed like there was a lot of just general intensity at the practice.
Oh, yes. That's what I like about Mus. I wasn't able to go to Andy's practices because this is the first practice I've ever been to. And so it's hard to compare, but Mus, it's very intense. He teaches a lot. He stops practice. He'll teach, but everything is at a fast pace. And he had to stop practice one time and say, look, there is no jogging during these drills. You run. And so caught everybody's attention. So, it was great to see. I guess they only have like what, 48 minutes or something.
Yeah, they're trying to. Minutes. Yeah, they have. It was explained to me by the SID that they've done this very deliberately. They understand exactly what the NCAA permits as far as how many minutes you can practice over the summer, and they want to go as many days as possible without wasting time. So if they can do 5 days a week, 48 minutes, whatever that works out to.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And I went 240 minutes a week. That's my math. Anyway, you know, that that basically works. It almost would work out to four. It's 4 hours of practice, right? So they're able to stretch it out over 5 days. So they think that's the and it's a lot of running. Nick, did you ever attend the summer, any of the summer stuff when Andy was coach?
I did. It was similar to fall, with the exception of it was more workouty, I feel like, than any game deliberate install. But they did all kind of the same drills with shooting at the end, so kind of what you'd expect from a summer run.
Okay. There were 10 players available for practice. Obviously, there are 13 on the roster. Terrence Williams still is not available yet. And I mean, it sounds like this injury is really dragging because there's an issue about getting blood to his wrist or so I'm wishing him the best. Hopefully he gets recovery and he's able to play this season. And then Chad Baker-Mazzara had a camp. I mean, I think that coaches have been pretty permissive with some of these players, especially the older ones, if they have other commitments in other parts of the country, they're allowing them to do that. So Chad Baker-Mazzara had a camp in Puerto Rico to go to. And then you missed, Grant, you missed by one day the Elijah Arenas,
Oh, I know.
because I think he actually finally, so this was yesterday that you went, and today he finally practiced for the first time. And I think they were
Wow.
hoping he was going to be ready for yesterday, but they just hadn't done, I think it was last medical clearance stuff. But he practiced today, so he's good to go. He's practicing.
Good.
I know that the teams were split up, and like one team had Rodney Rice, Ryan Cornish, Amarian Dickerson, Ezra Azar, and Gabe Dines. Another team had Jordan Marsh, Jerry Easter, EJ Neal, who's the transfer from Sacramento State, Jaden Brunell, and Jacob Kofi. Let's just talk about we'll go through some of these players first on that first squad. First guy right up the, what were your impressions to the extent you could, make impressions in 48 minutes of Rodney Rice?
He's the alpha guy on our team. Well, one of the alpha guys, but he's very complete player. He's looking to pass a lot, but he's not afraid to catch. He can play to catch and shoot off guard too. He had a nice runner in the lane with his left, little like almost like a jump hook. Just seems very sure of himself. Which he should be. I mean, he's an accomplished player, and I think he's going to be the starting point guard. And I think I'm going to like it better than Desmond Claude Lasser in the way that Desmond Claude dominated the ball a lot, and I think maybe that's what we had to do and must let him do it. So at the end, he's just going one on one. I don't see that happening with Rodney Rice. So I see the ball. You're going to see the ball move more.
What were your impressions of Ryan Cornish, the transfer from Cornell? When I went to practice, he hadn't gotten his final grades from Cornell yet, so he wasn't quite eligible.
I think it's going to be adjustment because he's not as quick a shooter as the kid from Yale last year. What's his name? The guard that we had from Newberry Park.
Yeah.
He had a quick release.
Mark
This
Slackert,
kid,
right? From
Clark Blackman.
Penn.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
we saw it, right? He can get his shot off. He went for 20 something one game. He had that quick release. Cornish a little more deliberate. I don't think he's as quick. He's bigger. But even he said in the press conference when he appeared in the press conference later with EJ and Jaden that he has to get used to the physicality of the Big Ten, coming from the Ivy League, right? And Dartmouth. And so I'm a little leery of him.
Okay.
Okay, to tell you the truth.
And by the way, did I get it wrong? Yes, he's from Dartmouth, not Cornell. So
Yeah,
that you got it right, I got it wrong. Sorry about that.
no,
So, Ryan Cornish, my apologies.
no.
What about next guy on the list for this one squad? Amarian Dickerson. I know he practiced when I was there. He's missed some practices because of an injury, but he's back now.
high energy, very vocal, can run the court, can block shots. He can finish too at the rim. I didn't see him take too many outside shots like we have discussed. He's not a great 3-point shooter, but I think he knows that. Watching him shoot around though on the drills, he had pretty good form and he was making it. But when the lights come on, it's a different animal. So I like what he brings to the table. I thought he may be a little bigger, but he's not. So that it is what it is. But big time energy guy.
Yeah, he's definitely not as tall as Chad Baker-Mazar. I know he wasn't out to practice, but I've seen them together, and Baker-Mazar is definitely bigger. Okay, Ezra Azar. This is so we have this inside Grant and I have this inside joke because the team took this photo at the beach, right, before even in the practice started, and we're trying to identify different players in the pic in the photo, and we're like, there's just like a face. There's just like a face of a guy who looked like he was about 6'8", and he was behind some other guys. It was a big face, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, it looks like Ezra has gained a lot gained some weight." But then I started like going back and forth, like, "Is this possibly even the same person? There's no way." I just could have. It was so. It turns out the guy was like, I think he's like some assistant or staff member or something, and Ezra just wasn't there at the beach that day to take the picture. So I've seen some video recently of Ezra when he did those when he was back in like I think Atlanta, and he's leaner. I mean, he's actually, if anything, gotten a little bit lean.
He's a stud, and he's a guy that can put it on the floor, go to the hoop, and as we discussed, not a great 3-point shooter, but it's not the end of the world because I don't think we need him to shoot threes. Well, I hope not. And but he's put together, and I expect him to start, and hopefully, or probably lead us in rebounding. So.
Yeah, Coach Todd Lee was on for a podcast, and it was a really good talk. So if anyone hasn't caught that, they should listen, because there were a couple interesting things that came out during the podcast that I didn't know about. And one of them, this is a small thing, it wasn't like a breaking news thing, but they were talking about how they've been really, really focusing on his shot and his release, trying to, they said, look, he's going to get to the free throw line a ton. They don't want him shooting 68% from the free throw line. They want him shooting, 75% from the free throw line. It will make up over the course of the season, it will make a difference. And they think that he's already, the free throws are going to be there. Now it's just trying to get that jump shot consistent because, if you can actually get the defender to come out to guard him at like 17 feet in the mid-range, it's going to really make him a special offensive player, because he can really blow by guys.
And he sees he has a pretty decent handle, and what I like is he likes going to the hole, so he's going to draw that contact. So I expect big things from him. He'll be one of the guys.
And the last guy on that roster was our big guy, big, tall guy, Gabe Dines. What are your impressions of Dines, seeing him out there, trying to adjust to, a lot of high major athletes around him?
Okay, so I've been thinking about this, and they say 7'3½, probably barefoot. He looks all of that. He's similar to Adai Mara at UCLA last year, but Adai was like, what, 7'4", 7'5". But Gabe Dines can run the court, and he's pretty mobile. He has gained 17 pounds, so he's at 235 now. And I thought he looked pretty good, for a 7'3" guy. He can get up and down the court, and he's going to be that body in the middle that we need to block shots, or at least people think when they get into the lane that there's some guy 7'3" around. S similar to when we had Evan Mobley. Guys would penetrate, and then they didn't go to the basket because they knew Evan was around somewhere. So I think he might be a guy like that. Decent outside shot, but decent passer. So, he'll definitely help. Okay,
Grant, I think
now.
you made such a good point too in terms of just the intimidation factor.
Right?
And obviously like Gabe's not evident in terms of the fluidity as an athlete, but at the same time, like I think that's where the on-off numbers are so key for some of these big guys, just because even if he doesn't block the shot, right, if he's just
Right.
there, it can have such an impact on your 2-point defense.
Exactly, because they'll think someone's there, right? I mean, I would if I went to the lane and saw, a 7'3" guy is somewhere, and so that would help. And just having a guy like we didn't have no one like that last year.
No,
Not even close.
and if you
No.
go to the those Andy teams where he made the tournament like 3 years in a row, or four even, I can't remember, I'm trying to remember now if it was just three or it was four, I guess. But
Yeah.
certainly the three when we had Onyeka and then we had Evan, but the entire time we had Isaiah Mobley. That team was all based around 2-point field goal percentage defense. I mean, that was what
Right.
we led the conference every year basically during that period. And it was just, and it wasn't just block shots. It was guys' shots getting, being challenged, but also them just mentally not necessarily wanting to, put up with, to go down there having the risk of it getting blocked.
Exactly.
My biggest concern, I don't know, what are your thoughts on this one, Nick? I mean, he's put on 17 pounds in like 4 weeks, apparently, or something. I mean, so I don't know if he can realistically get above 230 for the start of the season. I still think he's probably, even in the best of circumstances, he's going to be 25 to 30 pounds behind Adaimara, what he was last season, in terms of weight. I am a little concerned about if he will get pushed around, especially on rebounding. How is he going to be on the defensive boards? If he's being challenged, if guys are going to try to start leaning on him.
Is I think that's fair, but at the same time, I think if you're like so big and so long, it not that it doesn't matter, but I think it matters a little bit less. And I think not to compare him to Evan Mobley because totally different caliber of athlete, but like Evan was skinny too, but he was just
Right.
so long and could jump and I don't think Gabe can jump, but he's got a couple inches on Evan and he's got a pretty legit wingspan, so. He might just be so big where, he can offset some of that lack of strength a little bit.
Yeah, and hopefully that's and hopefully he builds enough and he can, start getting, just a little bit better with the holding those his ground. I mean, on offense, Mara is very strong. That's one of the things he does. I don't know if Dines is quite going to be at that point yet, but like his on-off numbers at Youngstown State were just, I mean, even when you watch the video, you're like, I don't know. There's sometimes it doesn't look great, but the on it was just kind of ridiculous. Like he had when he was on the court, by far. Team scored the least in of any player in the Horizon League. So like he was
Wow.
like it was just a very large impact player. And that was not necessarily true of his team, Youngstown State. They were not necessarily like the best defensive team. And he only played like 17 minutes a game. So when he was in there, that defense was really stellar. So I mean I'm hoping he does look a little better, I think, in what I've seen so far from this year. We'll just kind of have to see if he continues to adjust. Nick, do you have any questions on that, like group of players? Any other questions on that?
I think the key swing guy in that group for me is probably Ezra Asar, just because he's starting. And to me, I envision him as a guy where if the offense is stagnating and guys aren't hitting shots, he could be a guy you could feature in the high post and take advantage of either fives that don't have the foot speed or fours where he has a strength advantage. And he can kind of create his own shot that way. Do you think that's kind of an accurate way to look at him, Grant, or do you have
Yes,
a different view?
Yeah, no, it's exactly like you said. He can catch it in the middle, maybe free throw line, turn and face, and then if he has a big on him, he can get by him because his foot speed. That's exactly what I see, and he could do it from the wing too. And so I'm hoping to have big things from him because we're going to need it. You know, we're
And
going to need it.
I think that's kind of a key difference between potentially this year's team and last year's team, and that we didn't have a go-to post player last year, or even a four or a five that we could give the ball and say, go score. And we've had that in prior years with, Onyeka, Evan, Isaiah at certain times, even Nick Rakosevic. Was that, for several of those Andy Enfield teams. So, as much as I love Rashawn Agee and thought he improved a ton and was a pretty awesome, mismatch 3-point shooter, we just did not have that feature big. And when the offense would go in droughts, it could be pretty rough.
That's a great observation.
And it just it look, it's just tough if you don't really have a consistent scoring threat down low. I mean, I know Agee got a lot of points, basically kind of pass off finishing down low, which was great. Catching the ball and finishing, but a lot of it was threes. But he wasn't creating his own shot down low for the most part. I mean, it was very rare that he would do that. In fact, Josh Cohen was actually doing it probably more than he was. And that's something that was missing at the very end of Andy's turn. When guys that we were hoping, the younger guys that we had brought in, weren't really able to give us that kind of down low threat. After Isaiah and Vez Goodwin were gone. So I think that's a, I think it's very difficult to make the NCAA tournament if you don't have a guy who can create his own shot around the rim. That's just kind of my general thought.
That makes sense.
So the other team, so had both Jordan Marsh and Jerry Easter. What were your thoughts of Marsh? And was Marsh taking more of the point guard minutes, or was Easter taking some? What were your observations there, Grant?
Easter was taking some. He was running point. Marsh is, a veteran, and he was getting to the basket and hitting his little floater. He was shooting from outside. I think I predict he will get more minutes than Easter. I think Easter might be the odd man out. He's a freshman. I told you, Chase, that the one bad part of the scrimmage was he got picked by Cornish and from behind. And he was a little embarrassed about that, but I don't think, I may be wrong, but I don't think he's going to get a lot of minutes. But I think Marsh will give us real good minutes. He'll be that spark plug off the bench, the little quick guy. And I'm looking for some big things from him.
Do you think that if he comes in and he's in the game with Rice, that Marsh would play point guard, or Rice, or would it be? What is your thought on that?
I think they'll split it. I think they'll split it. Yeah, the guy that surprised me was EJ Neal. Yeah, he reminds me of Jalen Williams on OKC, and we talked to him after the press conference. He was one of the three guys who brought up, and great attitude, and he told me that he could have went to Arkansas, so. He has some talent. I thought he just may be the odd guy out and just be a practice player, but this was his first live practice, and it looked like he knew the plays, the offense. He's a fifth-year guy, so he's happy to be here. He said he'll do anything to get on the court, so he's one of those players.
What did you, I mean, do you think that he can, I mean, he's played, he played JUCO for 2 years, and he played Idaho, then he played Sacramento State. Do you think he can play on this level? I mean, how many minutes do you think he could potentially give us, or is he maybe just spot minutes?
I think it's spot minutes, but from what I've seen, it was limited minutes, but it didn't look like he did. It did not look like he did not belong. Physically, he could shoot it a little bit too, even though what he averaged 8.8 at Sac State. But he's got confidence, so he's going to get some minutes too. That's why I think Jerry Easter might be the guy out on the looking out, looking from the outside, because I don't know where the minutes are going to come for him.
Going to the bigs on this other unit, you had Jaden Brunell out there. How did he, when I watched the practice, it seemed to be things moving a little bit too fast for him. That was just one practice, so I don't want to be unfair. And he wasn't necessarily hitting. How did he look when you watched?
He looked a little better than that, from what you described. In fact, he hit a catch and shoot jumper over Dines when Dines was on him. So he's maybe a step slow, for the Big Ten. In the press conference afterwards, he said at UNC Asheville, he played mainly. This is what he said. He played the five. So he's learning how to be more of a stretch four.
And probably at Sanford, right?
Or Sanford, yeah.
Yeah.
Or yeah. And I'm sorry, at Sanford. So when I heard that, I go, okay, so he's not really a stretch four. He was playing five. So I don't know. What have you heard about him, Chase?
Well, so my obviously Toddley, Coach Toddley was pretty complimentary about him. He said he,
Okay.
so his coach at Sanford was Bucky McMillan, who is now the head coach at what, Texas A&M, right, Nick?
Right.
Yeah. So Coach Lee called Coach McMillan, said, "Hey, tell us about Jaden Brunell." And he said, "Look, that kid, you put him into a game, within he can completely change the course of the game. He can hit three threes in 1 minute and 20 seconds." He's that, that explosive of a scorer. Now, what's interesting is McMillan is his philosophy is, he plays like 10 guys consistently in a rotation.
Okay.
So no player for him last season at Samford played even 30 minutes a game. And all of them played less than 30 minutes a game, including like Rylan Jones, the transfer from Utah. He was in like his sixth year. Remember Rylan Jones from way back when at Utah? So yeah, he was still playing. So they had a guard on their team named Trey Fort, who's going to be starting for Michigan State, or looks like he's going to be starting this upcoming season for Michigan State. He played under 25 minutes a game for Samford last year. This gives you an idea. Jaden Brunell played 19.8 minutes per game and scored 14 points per game. So, and grabbed four rebounds, and had 1.7 steals plus blocks per for 19.8 minutes. And he did it on, his effective field goal percentage was 60%. So he was, I think he actually had the best effective field goal percentage in the Horizon League. Or not the Horizon League, they're in the Southern League. But I haven't seen that yet. And I as the coaches have said, Coach Lee thought he's seen it from Brunell. We're gonna have to
Okay.
see if he can do that. Nick, you've watched his videos. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there are going to be some games where he's playable and some games probably where he isn't, just because of the lack of foot speed. Although the Big Ten isn't the SEC, so I think there will be matchups where he helps us. And Mus has kind of shown that it can work with some of these stretch bigs. I mean, different player, but kind of look at what Agee did for us as a stretch big. Like, I think Brownell can definitely jump into that role. He's a little bit bigger, might not have as quite as much explosiveness, but I think he can make up for that kind of with sheer size. But the stroke looks good. I'd be really surprised if there weren't a couple games where we scored, 10 to 20 points.
And he, I mean, he was fair. Like, he only shot 80% from the free throw line, but he was otherwise would have been, he was like a 40, 50, 80 guy last season. There's not a ton of those guys walking around in college basketball, So, I mean, there are some, but there's not a ton. So that's a pretty impressive, kind of stat line for him.
And one other thing too, he lit up that Michigan State team, and that Michigan State team had one of the best defenses statistically in the country last year.
Yeah, exactly. Of
Okay.
course, they tried guarding him with their bigs who are more like around the rim bigs, and those guys, I mean, Brunell was just hitting lights out from the outside. So,
Yep.
well, the last guy, Grant, you saw on that other team was Jacob Kofi, who was going to be a sophomore, athletic kid from Seattle area, played at Virginia this past season. What was your sense of watching him out there?
When I saw him play, do the drills and get up and down the court, I go, yeah, he's quite an athlete, actually. And I didn't see him shoot too much from the outside because he was kind of playing in the post and passing. So I couldn't say much about his outside shooting, but he's a big body that can run and finish. So I expect pretty decent things out of him. So that's what I saw. It's pretty thick kid. So
My
will you think he'll start?
expectation is that he would start at the five with Ezra at the four. Now, will they try to get Dines in there? They've really been running a lot of stuff with Dines kind of running with a first team, or potentially not necessarily a first team, but playing a lot with Rice, playing a lot with Bacon Mazzara, playing a lot with even with Kofi. So, I what are your thoughts about that, Nick? Who do you predict will be starting at the four and five?
I think it's going to be Asar and Kofi, and I kind of think Kofi's the swing guy for the season. If I had to pick one guy, maybe Arenas too, just because he's a freshman, and freshmen have these high variance outcomes. But I think if Kofi like really hits, he could be an NBA guy because he's got the body. There were some games last year, like I thought when they played Villanova, he was the best player on the floor. So his like flashes are really, really good, and I kind of do think he can shoot, even though he didn't really show it last year. Form looks good. So if he could like hit top of the arc uncontested threes and be a guy on defense and really solidify that interior spot, I think we could be really, really good. If he's kind of more of the same inconsistent dude we saw at Virginia. I do think that lowers the ceiling a bit just because we've got the guards who, I think we all have a lot of confidence in can be really quality Big Ten guards. Whereas the bigs, it's more unproven, and you do need, one or two guys to step up.
So, Grant, one of the things I was thinking about was, I mean, what is your, do you think that this team, I mean, this might actually be a team, you didn't even get to see Chet Baker-Mazzara, who's really kind of like a defensive, more of a defensive impact guy than the offensive impact guy, even though he's a pretty good offensive player. Do you think that this might end up being a team where it's like the defense is actually kind of setting the tone? It's the stops we make rather than necessarily just trying to outscore other teams.
Most definitely. Because when you have Mazzara with his length, you have Dines, you have Dickerson, you have some athletes there, right? And Arenas is long. R Rodney Rice is a very hard-nosed player. So he's sitting next to the court. He was right there, and he's going to be tough to beat off the dribble. So I think and Mus, he demands defense. So it very well could be our defense that wins games for us this year, because the scoring is we don't have a guy like Buzo Abo who just can get hot. Maybe Brownell could be that guy, but I think it's going to have to be our defense first, and then our offense will come around.
Nick, you have any questions, any more questions on that kind of group of players?
No, I think Grant kind of nailed it with the defensive guys, right? I think the one of the concerns is I 100% agree, like Dickerson, Dimes, those guys have the potential to be really good defensive players. The question is like, do you have the two-way guys that can be good both ways, right? Like Baker
Right.
Mazzara, I think clearly is a two-way guy. He showed that at Auburn. Rice, we'll see. Like, I think he's physical and he's big, and I don't think he has quite like the steal numbers that some of these other guys do. Like, I think Marsh will get some steals because he has those quick hands, and despite his lack of size, I think he'll be able to, get a few steals at the high major level. But like, I guess, can we cobble together enough lineups to the point where we can consistently be like a top 25, both offensive and defensive team without sacrificing the other? I think that might be the big question for this team.
Yeah, that's, and I think it's going to be like, you're going to, I think there will be moments where you're like, okay, how many minutes do you give to a guy like Amarian Dickerson, right? Because I can see a little bit just already from what I've seen of him. Like, I'm not 100% positive that you're going to see this huge offensive impact, but he's going to make a major defensive impact, right? So if you have him out there, you might be just saying, look, we got to just stop the other team from scoring, try to create some turnovers, and maybe, Rice hit some shots for us, that kind of thing. It will, I think that's going to be kind of like, we'll figure out, do we have an offense that's really fluid and guy, we can score kind of re relatively easily, or are we going to be re relying on a couple guys to hit like tougher shots in those moments, which frankly, I'm kind of curious about to watch. Grant, do you have any thoughts about this?
I think yes, I'm thinking about it. As far as the offense, things might really fall into place if and when Arenas gets in the groove and gets used to college basketball. He might be the guy that will be the scorer. If it translates, was he a five star, right?
Oh,
And
he's a top 10 player.
Yeah, and he's a one and done. And what's interesting, I heard his father, Gil, on his podcast talking about he sent him to SC. Yeah, he could have went to Arizona, bigger school, more fans, but he wanted college to be hard for him. He didn't want it to be easy. And he knew that Mus would be the guy that could push him. And so I just want to see if his offense will come around. We discussed this, Chase. I hope it does, because if he's that guy, then I think everything else falls in place offensively.
Well, look, notwithstanding the car crash thing, which he seems to be doing all the right stuff, right? I mean, he's at, I know he couldn't go to the practice that you went to because I think he was actually finalizing his last school stuff, but he's been at like almost every single morning practice, even though he can't play, and he's right next to the coaches the entire time, like a sponge. When, certainly from the demeanor I saw when he was there, he wasn't like goofing around. He was paying attention. He was trying to. So, I mean, he's at least coming from the right attitude with the right attitude. I think the nature of his game, because he's a little bit loose with the handle, so the nature of his game is going to be he's going to have to like tighten up that handle and figure out what are the moves I can actually do at this level. And what are the moves I can't do? But the good news is, I think he's going to be going against guys that are going to really challenge him, right? I mean, he's going to be going against Dickerson, and he's going to be going against a really quick guy like Marsh, and he's going to be going against a guy like Rice, who has a full year of Big Ten defense, a full year of ACC defense. So, that's my
Baker Mazzara is probably what, 7 years older than him?
exactly.
That's Baker Mazzara. Yeah, you're right. He's what is he 25?
I think he's 25. And one other thing about Elijah too, like, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he did a big press conference with Mus where I think they took questions for like 20 or 25 minutes, and he just sounds like an awesome, super humble kid. Like he had a like minute long where he was just kind of like talked about how grateful he was for so many aspects of his life, and it just seems like the exact kind of kid you root for.
Wow, that's pretty grounded, you know.
Yeah.
And I think he knows. I mean, like, he knows what he has to do, because I think his father told him, he goes, if you want to get to the league, you got to put your work in. And I think, I wish he stays 2 years, but I think he's going to be in the lottery, right, Chase?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think if he stays 2 years, something has gone wrong, probably. Although, now it's like it's funny because he was on all the list for 2026 draft before the accident. After the accident, it's almost like they treated like he was like this was a major injury, and we didn't know if he'd come back from it or not. Whereas, like, I don't think he actually was in any way kind of like physically injured in a way that was going to impact basketball. So we'll see. But when you get a guy his size with his skill set, I think the main thing is you want to milk everything out of it, right? So if he's going to be the one and done, then let him have this amazing season, not like a Peyton Watson season or
Oh, come on.
A Zaire Williams season, right? I mean, let him have that season where he's actually kind of a bit of an alpha, and he's really trying, you're really relying on him, and he's playing tough basketball, not just like, oh, we're going to draft him because he's got amazing size and he's got a good form. Those are the kind of the guys that don't actually make the impact, which you got to watch for, because he's right in that size. Those wings are always, they're a little bit, the NBA loves them, but like sometimes they don't make a huge impact as college freshmen. Carter Bryant this past season for was it, is it Carter Bryant or Brian Carter?
Carter Bryant, yeah,
Carter
Carter
Bryant
Bryant.
for Arizona. I mean, he was looked really nice, in the tournament stuff. But for the season, he averaged 6 and 6.5 and 4. Like you can get replacement numbers from guys without them being lottery picks. So you really.
Do you think on that one, Chase, do you think Lloyd tried to hide him from the NBA? Because like I watched Arizona, and Bryant was like clearly one of their best like three players on
That
that team.
that's a great question. That's a great question, because he did start finally playing him at the end of the season, right? I have to look, like, how where did how many minutes did he as it go ahead in the stretch? So he played, yeah, basically once they got to the Big 12 tournament, he would play him, and for the most of the last part of the Big 12 season, he played him at least 20 minutes. So between 20 minutes and 30 minutes, almost every game, starting really around the end of January. But before then, he was light on the minutes with him. And yeah, I'm not sure you can, I guess you could say, well, he's still coming along. But like he played, this is, I'm just looking at these random so games. So January 4th, they go at Cincinnati. And Cincinnati was, I think this is Cincinnati at start of the season, really, really strong. I think they were ranked. So Arizona's going to a ranked team. I think, Arizona had lost some games early in the season. Arizona won this game. Bryant played 15 minutes and scored 14 points, 5 for 5 from the field, 3 for 3 from three. And he only played
Wow.
15 minutes. And by the way, the next four games, he never played 20 minutes in any of those games.
Wow.
So may,
Just mind
yeah.
blowing. I mean, I watched that Arizona team decent amount, and I thought their best two players were Carter Bryant and Henry Bejar, and neither got a ton of minutes. And then Bryant went to the NBA, and then Bejar got $2 million to go to North Carolina. So
Yeah.
clearly other coaches and NBA executives thought those guys could play too, but Lloyd just didn't play them. And I really like Tommy Lloyd as a coach. Like, I think he's done a terrific job there, but that one was just mind-blowing to me, some of his rotations
I
last year.
almost feel like you could write up, you could have a documentary about that team, because there were so, like, so many weird pieces from all these, like, random, Trey Townsend coming in there, having had that amazing performance, in the tournament for Oakland, and then kind of getting stuck in there, and it's like fish out of water. They just didn't really fit in, but he's taking the minutes of guys that are probably better than him, like Carter Bryant, like Toby Okwara, like even Henry Vassar. KJ Lewis like had a really poor season relative to like how he had played as a freshman when he, as a freshman, he was just like, kind of a scary player and stealing the ball. And his field, he just shot a lot higher volume this season in not that many more minutes. And his efficiencies were quite a bit lower. So that was a weird thing. And then he ends up transferring. Where did he transfer to?
I think he went to Georgetown. Is that right?
Did he go to Georgetown?
I
Wow,
think
that's
yeah,
right.
which is kind of a weird one because he's from El Paso. But part of me wonders with that Arizona team if it was just an NIL thing. Like Townsend was getting paid more than Besar and Carter Bryant, so maybe that Lloyd felt obliged to play in more minutes because of that. I don't know. That's just spitballing, but
You're
I know.
probably right. I don't know if you got more than Carter Bryant, but definitely got more, probably got a lot, right? I mean, because he was a very hot, guy from the portal because of that tournament of performance. So I'm sure he was getting more than Vassar and more.
Yeah, and even some of the McDonald's All-Americans, right? Like if you're a top transfer and obviously like Trey Townsend had his moment in the tournament, like they're getting top dollar, oftentimes more than, and Brian was a very good recruit, but he wasn't like a top five,
No, you're right. He's
guy,
more
right?
like number 20 in his class.
So, maybe, but it was very clear, right? I think to the people watching that Brian was a better player than Townsend, right? Like
Yes, oh,
that was
for sure.
obvious, but
I would think so. Especially, I mean, for the season, I mean, just Townsend just kind of had a bad season. I mean, frankly, like, they gave him a lot of minutes, or especially early in the season, he just didn't do a lot. I know Arizona fans are not particularly happy about it, and he's probably just he played at his level, in the at when he's playing at Oakland, he's playing at that's the level he's going to excel at, even in like playing in the NCAA tournament. That's what I kind of think about too, about like Malik Thomas, our Malik Thomas, the USC Malik Thomas, who played for USF, who had a great season this year, and it was also like a very hot commodity in the transfer portal, and I'm like, I'm not sure that this guy, he should be like, you really want him to return to that, power conference level. 'Cause I think he found his perfect level at, at San Francisco. That's the level you should be playing at, not necessarily playing, in the Big East, or I can't even remember where he ended up signing, but he was,
I think he went to Virginia, so he's a
yeah.
ACC, but
Oh, right. Yeah.
obviously, jumping up to that to high major level, and you kind of have to, not that Malik was this, but at least with Townsend, you have to be careful with some of these tournament guys that are one-hit wonders, and not that Trey didn't have a good year at Oakland because he did, but his big moment in the tournament was that game against Kentucky, right? Do I have the right year? I think I know it was him and Golkey, right? They beat Kentucky, that Calipari team in the first round.
In the first
And
round,
that Kentucky team was garbage on defense. They had like the number three offense and like the number 90 defense because it was like, Reed Sheppard was like hitting all those threes, right? He had like that ridiculous percentage. But they didn't guard a lick. So, it's awesome that Trey had his moment in the tournament. It was really cool to see, but it's not like he was playing a Houston level defense or anything like that when he was going off. So you got to be careful with some of those guys.
What do you think? I mean, since you brought it up, Nick, just really quickly, what do you think about Ferrell Payne from, Texas A&M? He had been in Minnesota, actually. Then he transferred to Texas A&M to play with Buzz, and then now he's transferring to play at Maryland. I was talking on the Discord with some guys from, they're kind of like pumping the Maryland team as a potential tournament team. And I'm like, looking at this Maryland line, I'm like, I don't see it. Like, who on this lineup do you think of as like a, better than average starter for the Big Ten? And they were saying, well, Ferrell Payne. And he's a guy who, like, he scored in the tournament, he scored 25 against Yale, 26 against Michigan in that loss. But the entire rest of the season, he only scored 20 in two other games, or three other games, I guess. But, is he a guy who's going to come in and average 17 points a game for Maryland, or is he going to average like 11?
I don't think so. I think 11.
Yeah, I
I
think
mean,
so.
he won't be a bad player. Like, I think he'll be a solid like Big Ten starter. But like, if you think you're gonna get like Derrick Queen level scoring, I mean, I'll see that.
That's what I, and I, that's why I say I like him. I think he's a good player. But like, if you look at the roster, this is one thing I've done because I've been going through, gosh, all of these teams and all the transfers, and I got through the entire Big Ten, and then I've started the SEC and the ACC. And the surprising thing right off the bat for me was the Big Ten spent the most money, and you can tell because like
Yeah.
some of these rosters are stacked with like completely new players. And like the example I love to give is Iowa. I was like, Iowa wasn't very good last year. They ended up firing
McCaffrey.
McCaffrey. They had some really high level transfers, high scoring guys, very sought after. Everybody left, and then they bring in an entirely new group of guys, and like the computer models love these new team. Now they have Bennett Sturts, obviously, who's potentially one of the best players in the country at point guard. But
Yeah,
like
he's awesome.
they, I mean, they look absolutely like terrific for the computers. And I'm like, I wonder if this will translate. But like as a team, like they were like competitive just with all these transfers they brought in. They look competitive with like some of the guys that you're seeing from like Auburn, like that level of SEC, which you would never think. But it looks like that, between Michigan, Purdue went out and got that player from Israel. There are some really, a lot of money was spent in the Big Ten to get talent. And that's why I'm thinking like, I like Ferrell Payne, but like, how many teams is he going to even, would he start for? But, I mean, he might start for 9 or 10, but he's not going to start for 16 or 17. He's going to start for about half the teams,
So what do you think about this? If you could pick Jacob Kofi or Ferrell Payne just for this upcoming season, who would you take?
That's a great question, right? Because Payne, like, as a what was he a junior last year? He finally kind of hit at the very end of the season. But you're looking, you're like, okay, oh yeah, he was a junior. Kofi projects better, right? Because he was a freshman,
Right.
he didn't play the minutes. His efficiencies were high. He graded out well. He played well, strongly on defense. Also, we haven't seen a ton of it, but he's potentially a 3-point threat. He also guard, I think, more positions probably than Payne can guard. So, I personally would probably take Kofi. Now, I could see people making the argument to take Payne, but you just say like, okay, one guy's, which guy's going to improve the most this year? I would say Kofi is on a better trajectory. I mean, Kofi, you don't see Payne really being mentioned as potentially an NBA draft pick, right? And Kofi
Yeah,
is.
because to me, I kind of see it as I think Payne has a higher floor and Kofi has a higher ceiling, just
Exactly.
because Payne, you know what he is. He's probably not going to get much better from year 3 to year 4. Kofi, you're looking at a year 1 to year 2 jump. I think he's more toolsy, better athlete. But Payne's season this past year at A&M, I do think was objectively better than Kofi's freshman year at Virginia.
Oh, for sure.
Just if you're looking at the numbers.
I completely agree with that. Yeah, I don't think Kofi ever had, games in the ACC where he scored 25 points or whatever like Payne was doing at the end of the season of the tournament. But all that being said, A&M was a better team. like it
Yeah.
was a better situation that Payne was in, and he was, older than Kofi. So you'd expect him to, as a junior, to hopefully, be better.
Yeah. 100%.
All right. Well, I know it's getting late where you are, Nick. Grant, you got anything else before we get out of here? Any thought you want to make a prediction about where you don't have to make a prediction about how we're going to do in the season, but just a maybe a prediction about the team as far as some like detail about it. You're like, oh, this is what my prediction for the team as far as this piece.
Kind of hard to tell right now, but I'm gonna say the roster looks better than we did a year ago. We have more. I think we have bigger bodies, better athletes, which will be better defense, and I think we have more talent. So, the prediction. It's hard to say. I hope when we get to 20 wins, but we might. I say around 18.
Well, 18 is not going to get us in the tournament, though, you know.
I know. That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, I
So,
think it's hard to predict wins and
yeah.
losses right now, especially
Hope I'm
when,
wrong.
yeah, we have to see what Arenas, you know, what he gives us.
Yeah.
Nick, any last thoughts before we get out of here?
Continue to like the team. We'll just have to see when the lights go on. I'm just excited about Arenas and kind of getting
Right?
some reports back for how he looks. And you know, I think it's going to be an adjustment given what he's gone through, with the car accident and reclassification and adjusting to the new level. But pleasantly surprised by a couple things with him, like number one, how tall he is. I mean, he's like crazy big, which is really exciting from a potential standpoint. And then the number two guys who are, the kids of NBA players tend to outperform their ranking typically. And I know we've talked about that on the podcast too. So just another reason I'm really, really excited about him.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And that's now here we have a guy who's already ranked in the top 10. So you're like, he can only go up so high, right? But especially when this is a loaded class. My goodness, I was watching the that FIBA U19 and is it Michael Brown for Louisville? He just like completely went off. And I mean, somehow they didn't give him the MVP, but he looked amazing. So like there are some guys in this class that are really, really, really good. But that being said, Arena's potential is just, I mean, sky's the limit.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Have you guys seen that? I think it was on Instagram, or it might have been YouTube workout. I think it was in LA at going against NBA players 1-on-1. What? Yeah, Durant was guarding. Have you seen that one?
I don't know if I have. I don't know if.
Okay, I'll try to find it and send it to you. It's pretty impressive. He has pro moves already, 1-on-1 moves.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so the thing about him though, can he hit that jumper, consistently and see the ball go in the basket, early, right?
Yeah.
And then get his confidence. But watching those, he has all the footwork of an NBA player. I mean, he was taking it to those guys. So.
Well, we were hope there'll be a practice soon. Maybe Grant will be at it where Elijah Arenas will actually be playing. So we'll have to see. Okay. Well, Grant, thank you so much for doing all this. Really appreciate it. Nick, thanks for
My
staying up.
pleasure.
Really appreciate that. And we'll be back soon with a podcast of one sort or another. I know some people don't dig it when we could discuss something other than USC basketball, but we're going to talk about USC sports and Big Ten sports and all that stuff. So I think it will be hopefully the discussions are interesting to people. So until next time, fight on, everyone.
Right on.
Fight on.